think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is LBC London News.
A very good afternoon to you. It's 23 minutes past four right now. Let's talk about the US election then. Just 5 days to go until America decides. And guess what? We've got a new poll out. It's suggesting that Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Trump are now neck and neck. Joining me live from Washington is our US correspondent, Simon Marks. So, Simon, yet another poll?
Absolutely, Chris. Another poll coming out amid fevered campaigning, particularly today in the battleground state of Florida. You can probably hear Donald Trump behind me. He's on his feet in Jacksonville at the moment. We'll take a little bit of his speech in just a moment. But that new poll came out just a few hours ago, a New York Times survey, which gives the Democrats some reason to relax. It suggests that Hillary Clinton enjoys a 3-point advantage over Donald Trump nationally. And most importantly of all for the Democrats, it also shows that the majority of American voters say they've made up their minds. Nothing is going to sway them, they say, between now and Election Day next Tuesday. Although, given the very uncertain nature of this election so far, let's not rule out the possibility of one final surprise just around the corner. Donald Trump on his feet in Jacksonville, as I say, he certainly is predicting another surprise. Whether it comes before Election Day, I think is questionable, but he says he is convinced that the FBI is inexorably heading towards a criminal indictment of Hillary Clinton as they continue their investigation into her handling of classified information. Let's dip in and hear what he has to say to his supporters down in Jacksonville.
Just recently found. Can you imagine 650,000? What do these people do? No wonder nothing gets done in government. 650,000. I guess you'll say those 650. Remember the 33? Well, the 650,000 also, the wedding and some yoga, right? Finally, it is believed that no less than 5 foreign intelligence agencies successfully hacked into Clinton's illegal and secure server, which contained classified information, creating an ongoing security threat to the United States. Think of what happened to so many people for doing so little by comparison. Think of it. Hillary Clinton has engaged in a massive, far-reaching criminal conduct and equally far-reaching cover-up. She created an illegal email server to shield and guard her activity. It's so simple. So simple. Should have happened a long time ago, folks. Now we're going through phase two, which sounds like it's even worse than phase one. Should have happened in phase one. But she was protected by the Department of Justice. She illegally transmitted confidential information and then lied about it to Congress. She illegally destroyed federal records, including 33,000 emails, after receiving a congressional subpoena, and she made 13 phones disappear, some with a hammer. Who in this room has gotten rid of a phone and then smashed the hell out of it with a hammer? Anybody raise your hand, please. Raise your hand. I see one hand over there.
Donald Trump on his feet in Jacksonville, Florida. You could hear in the background there chants of lock her up from some of his faithful supporters. That's a mantra that they chant at these rallies on a daily basis as Donald Trump makes the case against Hillary Clinton. He insists that despite the fact that she is being, as he put it, protected by the U.S. Department of Justice, he believes that the FBI is inexorably heading towards a criminal indictment of Mrs. Clinton and her top officials with regard to their handling of classified information. But that is by no means the only message voters in the all-important battleground state of Florida are hearing today. President Obama has just wrapped up a speech in Miami in which he has once again urged voters in that all-important battleground state to get behind Hillary Clinton, saying that they have the opportunity to make history, to, in essence, extend his period in government, to give the reforms and changes that he has made more of an opportunity to be enacted and to bed down as legislation. And let's take a listen to what I think was an absolute barnstormer of a speech by Barack Obama that wrapped up down in Florida just a few minutes ago. Here's an excerpt.
I'm not on the ballot this time, but fairness is on the ballot. Decency is on the ballot. Justice is on the ballot. All the progress we've made is on the ballot. Immigration reform is on the ballot. A higher minimum wage is on the ballot. Equal pay for equal work is on the ballot. Democracy is on the ballot. Hillary Clinton will move us forward if you give her a chance. And if we win Florida, we will win this election. It is in your hands.
President Obama urging the people of Florida specifically, but a message also aimed, of course, at the rest of the country to get out and back Hillary Clinton. And he's urging them not to wait until Election Day, particularly down in Florida, where early voting is already underway. In fact, there was a huge sign on the wall of that auditorium urging people to vote early. The reason why there is this intensity of focus on Florida is because the models that have been put together by the various people who chart polls in the battleground states where this election will be won or lost, they clearly show that there is no path to victory for Donald Trump that does not lead through the state of Florida. So Donald Trump is desperate to win Florida, and Hillary Clinton is desperate for him to lose it.
So what we're hearing from both the Clinton camp and the Trump camp is the same script that we keep on hearing. We're hearing from Trump that Hillary is crooked, and from Clinton that Trump isn't equipped to be US president. Are they going to move from those scripts?
No, I think we're these are the stump speeches now, and I think they are. They almost do them at this point by rote. I mean, both of those, both Donald Trump and Barack Obama are using teleprompters, but at this point it's hard to know why they would need to, because I could do the speeches. You know, I've heard them so many times. They want to engage in 5 days of scorched earth campaigning in a bid to make sure that every single possible floating voter out there has heard their message and either takes heed of what Donald Trump is saying and gets behind him, or takes heed of what Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Michelle Obama are saying and gets behind her. And they also want to shore up their own support. This is now a question of organization on the ground. It's getting the vote out. It's not relying on the enthusiasm of supporters to wake up next Tuesday and take a look out of the window and say, oh, it's a nice day out there, I think I will trot off to the polls. It's about taking whatever action you can now to make sure that you know, as a political party and a political force, that your people are going to turn out. And in that regard, there's no question that Hillary Clinton has an advantage. She has a far more detailed and developed ground game. She inherited a good deal of it from Barack Obama himself, that she and Democratic Party operatives can unleash in the next few days than Donald Trump has been able to develop. And that, of course, is partly due to the fact that, you know, Donald Trump has got many leading, significant Republican figures not actively campaigning for him. And there is a real contrast there, Chris. You know, we heard President Obama there passionately making the case for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. The only people out there really who passionately make the case for Donald Trump are Donald Trump his running mate, Governor Mike Pence of Indiana. Very occasionally, you might see the former mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani. There are no heavy hitters out there campaigning for him. He has to do it all himself.
And nobody really does it like Trump, though. That's the point, I guess, they're trying to make, isn't it?
Well, they are. That is the only point they can make in the absence of being able to point, for example, to a former president named Bush or a former presidential candidate named Romney, because those people aren't showing up. But they are going to turn to another person named Trump in just a few hours' time. Yes. We are going to hear publicly, certainly in a speech for the first time since the Republican convention, from Melania Trump, Donald Trump's wife. The last time we heard from her was in a television interview that she gave after that leaked Access Hollywood videotape came out, in which she insisted that she was standing by him. She was disappointed by the language about women that he used on that tape, but she said it wasn't the Donald that she knew. Well, they are deploying her in a couple of hours' time on the campaign trail, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see what she has to say and how she's received. Remember that at the Republican Party convention back in Cleveland all those long weeks ago, they thought, the Trump people, that Melania was going to be something of Donald Trump's secret weapon. They thought that she was really going to resonate with the public and that she was going to play a substantial role in this election campaign. It did not come to pass because of the plagiarism allegations, Melania Trump making a speech that in large measure repeated a speech that Michelle Obama had previously made, and that really put pay to their hopes of getting her to play a substantial role on the campaign trail. But nonetheless, in the dying days, they are getting her out there. It's going to be very interesting to watch and listen to what she has to say.
Absolutely fascinating. Well, we took most of what President Obama had to say earlier on. It just reminds you just how energised and what a great orator he is.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I have to, whatever you think of President Obama's politics, and this is not about his politics, as I watched that speech, just for a moment, I sort of put myself in a historic mode, in the sense that, you know, you watch President Obama making that speech and you realise this is not just an election. This is not just about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. These are the dying weeks of the Obama presidency. This is a remarkable performer on the political stage, always has been, again, whatever you think of his politics. And to watch him making that speech in an atmosphere and an environment in which he knows he's not on the ballot, as he put it. He personally, you know, he's done. He's done his 8 years. You can't get any higher than that. He's done everything that Democrats could possibly have asked him to do. And now, freed from the worry about having to campaign again for himself, he really was absolutely in his element in that speech. And it was a remarkable piece of rhetoric.
Absolutely. Well, 5 days to go, Simon. We will catch up again, no doubt.
Does this mean we're still not talking about the Electoral College? Have I managed to filibuster my way out of that for 2 days running?
Well, I think you have done. I mean, we have got a couple of minutes.
No.
Would you like to take us through the Electoral College?
No,
because it's a question. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because it doesn't mirror what we do over here in the UK. I read somewhere that it's something like 51 mini elections, almost, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Honestly, it's crazy. the American, and this is the moment. I was joking about it yesterday. This is the moment that foreign correspondents here in Washington dread, the moment when they have to explain the Electoral College. But remember, this is not a national popular vote for the presidency. We don't add up the number of people across the country that vote for Donald Trump and add up the number of people for Hillary Clinton. And if one more person votes for Hillary Clinton than Donald Trump, declare her the president of the United States. This is 51, 52, if you include Puerto Rico. This is a mini elections taking place in every state and territory across the United States. The results of those statewide votes, so say for the sake of argument, Donald Trump wins in Texas, as we expect him to do. Well, Texas then goes for Donald Trump. What does that mean? That means that there are a certain number of delegates from each state, and it's all based on the size of the state population-wise, that then come and sit in something called the Electoral College. And so popular populous states have a bigger say in determining the outcome of this election than less populous states have. As a result of that, the real numbers that we're looking at here are 270 electoral college votes to win the election. These people actually come to Washington in January and they sit down in a room and they pledge the votes of their states for the respective candidates that have won each state. It's one of the reasons, by the way, why Donald Trump is still anxious about an independent Republican, Evan McMullen, who's doing quite well in the state of Utah. He wants to make sure that Evan McMullen doesn't win that state because he needs Utah's electoral college votes to get him over the 270 figure. So the big thing we're going to be watching for on Tuesday night, early hours of Wednesday morning there, is how do they put this jigsaw puzzle together, both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, to try and get over the 270 votes that they need in the Electoral College. And that's why we really focus on these battleground states, Florida, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania. Any state where we can't be certain which way things are going to go, Democratic or Republican, becomes an absolutely key state in determining the outcome of that Electoral College vote.
Certainly makes it very exciting. I just noticed that William Hill, a very famous bookmaker over here in the UK, who once quoted the chance or the odds of Donald Trump winning the election at 150-1, have now reduced them to 7 over 4, which is 36% chance. So they're updating them minute by minute. And it's extraordinary that we've gone from 150-1 to 7 over 4.
Yeah, I'm just looking to look at 538.com to see what they say the probability is. 538 is a website run by a guy called Nate Silver, who really crunches numbers very carefully to come up with a probability forecast. He says Donald Trump has a 34% chance of winning the presidency today. Hillary Clinton, 65.9%. So she slipped a little bit more overnight here, which would suggest that William Hill, maybe they're looking at 538.com as well.
Maybe they are. Well, thank you very much, Simon Marks, our U.S. correspondent for the very latest from the US election. 5 days to go until America decides. And don't forget, tomorrow Simon will have what presumably will be his penultimate podcast from America on the race to the White House. You will get it tomorrow. It'll be live on the website at lbc.co.uk.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.